We are bicycling through the pastoral epistles. We're in 1 Timothy, and Lord willing, we'll finish out this year. We're in chapter 5 today. We saw in chapter 1 your work that you have to teach the truth, and you have to wrestle against false doctrine and teachers. We saw in chapter 2 your priorities. First priority is prayer. Second priority is orderly, ordained leaders who will lead the flock. Chapter 3, we saw your qualifications, what you need to go into ministry. And then chapter 4, we looked at your work, the roadblocks, demonic doctrine and worldly sheep and your own flesh and the need to be an example. Come to chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Your sheep and their care. Before we read the text, just to say this. When you take care of sheep, you need sheep skills. You need people skills. Yeah, you need to exegete the scriptures. Because if you don't know what you're talking about, you've got no truth to give anyone, and your words don't help. It's only the truth. You have to be doctrinally sound. People are fed on meat and milk, not on junk food. You also have to have some organizational skills and skills to exhort people. But chapter 5 and the beginning of 6, our passage this morning, really says this. You need people skills. Just plain old how to treat people the way God wants you to treat people. And if you don't have those people skills, you're going to do damage to the flock. So we're going to read this and go over it. Four quick things. You need to know how to care for your sheep. You need to know shepherd skills, how to care for your sheep. Secondly, you need to take care of your weakest sheep, especially the ones that can't care for themselves. Thirdly, and importantly, you need to take care of your shepherds. You need to take care of your shepherds so that the sheep will be cared for. And finally, you need to know how to take care of your abused sheep, the sheep that really are trampled on and abused. So let's look at this. Chapter 5 and the first part of chapter 6. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in God's sight. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has her hope set on God, continues in supplications, prayers, night and day, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former pledge. Beside that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and, quote, the laborer deserves his wages, end quote. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging. Do nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. But all who are under yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you may open up our hearts to these instructions, that we might be good shepherds. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's an old adage with some truth in it. You may have heard it, and I think it's worth keeping. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's been many a pastor I've seen who has done wonderful yeoman's work, built congregations, and they're not the most gifted person in the world. But they are very loving, and the sheep know that. So four things again. The first thing is, you need to know how to take care of your sheep in general. In other words, family. You know, why is family so important? Well, yeah, incest does happen. There are husbands that beat up their wives. There is sin in families. But normally speaking, you treat your family different, right? You don't go around telling your dad off, you know? And so this is the way you treat people. Treat the older men. That's me, the older men, okay? The older men is what? As you would a father. Don't go around rebuking them. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No, you don't do that. You know, you treat them like a father. The older women as mothers. The younger men as brothers. And notice the qualification. I could put a whole sermon on that. The younger sisters as what? Well, the younger women as sisters in all purity. Why? Because you don't lust after your sister, right? She's what? Punching bag until somebody gets on her, and then, you know, you beat them up. The bottom line is, your sister's different, you know, right? You don't think of your sister as a sexual object, okay? So the bottom line is, family relations are important. That's the way you need to treat your flock. So think of that. These aren't sheep to be, you know, beaten. As one pastor reminded me, my mentor, Scipione, what's the difference between a cowboy and a shepherd? Cowboy has a hat. Nope. Cowboy rides a horse. Nope. Has spurs. Nope. No. A cowboy drives the cattle. Shepherd leads the sheep. Okay. Family relations. Second thing is, you need to take care of your weakest sheep. Look at verses 3. Okay, on. Honor widows who are truly widows. This whole thing. Okay. I mean, widows that are truly widows. There's no social welfare system. There's nothing in place. Who's going to take care of them? Well, first of all, the family should, right? Payback time. Dude, your mom carried you for 9 months. You were a pain in her belly. And then you became a pain everywhere else, okay? She nursed you. She kept you alive. You know, we all joke about it. I brought you into the world. I can take you out, okay? But the reality is, okay, the widow's got no one to take care of her, and the kids and the grandkids need to say, we'll take care of her. It's not the responsibility of the state primarily. It's not the responsibility of the church. Now, the church has to step in after the family. Okay? And so your weakest sheep, these are women that didn't have any possibility. Who's going to marry a woman over 60? Okay, maybe a guy over 60. Okay, but, you know, The bottom line is, who's going to take care of them? And it's the responsibility of the family first, but if the family's not there, then the church needs to step in. Okay. Now, we all know situations as pastors where the family should, right, and they're not doing it. Church has to step in, but what we need to do is get on the family's case and say, why in the world is the church having to take care of your relative? Okay, and this is another sermon for another time. We've excommunicated guys for not working. Scripture says if a man doesn't work, don't let him eat. But the bottom line is, if you don't take care of your family, your relatives in general, particularly your own household, guess what? You're worse than a pagan. Why? Because at least the pagan's got a brain and can figure out, my family's got to eat, and that's my responsibility. I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Especially the women ought to do that. I got a lot of high fives in Uganda when I was preaching against the men. You know, I had a pastor's wife come up and high five me on it. That was another, you know, aside. I was just saying, by the way, you know, you guys got it wrong here. Why? Because you always blame the women for being, you know, barren. And you go pick up another wife, right? Well, guess what? It could be your fault. Oh, they all thought that was funny. We know stuff now that we didn't used to know, and go, y'all could be the problem, not her. Okay. So the bottom line is, take care of these widows. Teach the sheep to care for their own. And you have to distinguish between people that are worthy. As one guy said, George Grant, he calls them the worthy poor. I mean, they are worthy poor. They're poor not because it's not because of their problem. It's not their problem. It's the people around them in the situation. You need to give them a hand up, not a hand out. Okay, so you take care of the weakest sheep. You also need to take care of your shepherds. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. You know, you've got all this stuff about widows being enrolled and, you know, at what age. And, you know, it's kind of very interesting. It's almost the flip side of the requirements for officers. Apparently in the early church there were widows that were cared for, and I think they in exchange, you know, for taking care of women. I mean, that's my guess in terms of what was going on there. But we get to the elders. What about them? Well, it's very interesting. Let's go through the text, verse 17. And all the arguments in Presbyterian circles, you all Baptists don't have this, but Presbyterians do. Are there two offices or one office, you know, two kinds of, well, it's really interesting to me. I've never heard anyone say this, but it says right here in the Bible, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of what? Double honor. It's not the good preachers. It's the good rulers. Now it says, especially those that labor in the word. Okay. So the bottom line is, there's elders, and there's elders that also teach. But Paul's saying, who's worthy of double pay? It actually could be pay, timē in the Greek. It could be pay. I know some people think it is, but at least of double honor. Who? Not people that whistle like that, but, you know, who's worthy of double honor? The people that rule well. Why? Because sheep are unruly. Okay. And shepherds need care, and you can see all this through. Okay, but the rules are the same, right? And this is one we don't hear. And this is a big one that should be going on. I don't like the blogosphere. Everybody's trashing everybody, you know, on the blog. But, you know, there are some famous guys who've gotten, because they, just to be blunt, because they couldn't keep their pants on. You know, and they're dragging the name of Christ through the mud. Okay? They ought to be rebuked publicly. I'm serious. It says, you know, you know, those who sin, right, or what? Be publicly rebuked. Why? Because then the whole family knows if the leaders can't get away with stuff, then guess what? The rest of the people are going to have to obey. No double standard. And we got it all the time, right? You know this. Okay. Of course, we all like this, right? When I'm the sinner, I want to break. When you're the sinner, I want to get on you. Swaggerty was like that years ago, right? Not our circles, but remember Swaggerty. Oh, you know, this guy was no good, and he's out there. And then we find out that he's running around with prostitutes. You big hypocrite, okay? You know, you rebuke these other people publicly, and then you're out there doing the same thing. Well, God says, look, you know why? Because your sheep will start to fear God if they go. If the main guy can get blown out of the water for his sin, then I better not mess, right? So God does that, right? David, you're forgiven. I'm not wiping you out for your double capital offense. But guess what? Sword's not going to depart from your house. And what you did privately, Absalom's going to do on the rooftop to thumb his nose at you. Consequences, right? God publicly takes even his servants that he forgives and says there's consequences. And we need to take care of them. But there's also the personal care. Hey, you got a bad stomach? Take a little wine. Take care of your elders. When you get into a congregation, I'm telling you right now, that's a split on its way happening. First people you need to start ministering to are to those ruling elders. You go there, you love on them, you get in their home, you minister to them, you wash their feet, and you're not going to have a church split, and you're not going to have what most young guys do. Okay? And the way is not to say, don't touch the Lord's anointed, I'm different than you, I'm... Minister to them. Take care of those elders. Okay? And then again, call me or one of the other professors to come and preach if you're not getting paid enough, because it just says here, don't muzzle the ox. Hey, y'all, I'm an ox. Just, I'm treading out the grain. Come on. Pay me. Don't have to be lots, but, pay me. Okay? That's another whole sermon for another time, and I actually wrote a paper for one of my courses here on that. It's a quote of the Old Testament. It's an application of the law. Yeah, and then puts it with what? The labor's worth is higher, what Christ teaches. So the bottom line is call in the professors if you got problems on salary. Be bold, okay? Finally, the last thing is you need to know how to take care of your abused sheep. The plain truth is what? Slaves are always abused. Because they're treated like property instead of people. And some of them were under the yoke, and you need to minister to them. But, slaves weren't supposed to get an attitude. They were supposed to be a witness. Now, Paul says elsewhere, if you can get your freedom, take it. Don't have to stay a slave. Take the freedom. But, these are abused people. People to get whooped on. First Peter. Hey, slaves, look at Christ. When he was beaten, right? He says, if you do something wrong and take a beating, you take it patiently. I'm not even on that level, right? Most of us, if we do something wrong and we get pounded for it and we take it patiently, we think we're growing in grace. Hey, we're not even in the race yet. Okay? Because what? Christ suffered injustice. And he didn't complain. Why? To leave an example for you to follow in his footsteps. And that's hard to say to someone, but you got to minister to your abuse. And there's going to be people in your congregation that are physically abused, sexually abused, that really are trodden. And if you don't preach the gospel to them, and if you don't care for them, you're missing. They're the sheep that really need it more than anybody else. So the reality is, to sum up, you not only have to preach up a storm, you got to live up a storm. You got to be like Jesus. Because after all, remember embedded here in 1 Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. And what is it? If you look at it, it's him. It's not a great mystery anymore to us. Jesus is the answer. Who was what? He came, he was seen, preached, exalted in the heavens. That's the mystery. And again, in the chapter 4, you're supposed to be an example to the flock, especially you young guys. Don't let anybody get on your case for being young. Dude, it's not my fault that I was only born 20 years ago. See, you didn't ask to be born 70 years ago, okay? That's in God's hands. So don't get on me. Outlove them and outlive them, and they won't have so much to say. Now, there will be wicked people who will badmouth you and trash you. They'll blame you for everything under the sun. Go visit my husband. He's living with another woman. You go visit him, say, you got to come home. He divorces her, and she goes, you ruined my marriage. I did what? Yeah, you ruined my marriage. How's that? Well, he didn't divorce me till you went and talked to him. So it must be your fault. I had a woman do that to me. She later came up, and I think she got saved in a Pentecostal street meeting. Praise God. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be a Presbyterian to get saved. After you're saved, you better be Presbyterian. But, you know. Bottom line is, you know, and so we're talking, and I go, you remember what you said to me? I said, you that one? No, I never said. I said, you, honey, you said that. You blamed me. And she said, I think what happened is you actually got saved, and now you're thinking straight. So she finally forgave me for breaking up her marriage because she realized I didn't do it. But that stuff will come. But if you treat people like fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, and whooped on people, you love on them, they'll listen to you. And more important, they'll come to Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to be the kind of people that really care for our sheep like we would care for our family. Some of us, Lord, had really lousy families, so that's hard. But as we experience the grace of God through others in the body of Christ, we come to understand what true family love is like. So please help us to be these kinds of men and women. And Lord, help us not to be tadpole shepherds, all head and no body. Lord, help us to grow up into the fullness of Christ and reflect that. Thank you that we have a good shepherd who has allowed godliness to become a reality in our lives. Help us to live that out in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close by taking our Psalters and turn to 23b. 23b.